Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Tuesday, December 19th, 2023. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you all had a great week and a great weekend. And yes, I said Tuesday. Sorry this episode is so late, but the reason is because I was in North Carolina in the mountains with my family over the weekend, and I get no reception out there, so I couldn't stream anything. I couldn't watch anything really until I got back yesterday and had to catch up yesterday and today on the shows we're going to talk about. That was the same, by the way, for like AEW, most of the UFC stuff. I couldn't really stream anything throughout the weekend. Pretty much anything I could watch was inside of a casino that I was in. That's the reason I was in North Carolina with my family. We're out gambling, having a good time. But I could watch whatever sports they had on in the casino at the time, but I couldn't like live stream anything off of any of these platforms we're talking about. And I could only watch kind of what I can keep my eye on when I was at like a blackjack table or something like that. By the way, I'm not endorsing gambling or anything like that. Just, you know, gamble responsibly if you're going to. I don't want to set anyone down the wrong path by talking about me going out and having a good time doing that with my family. I do it very rarely, but it is fun for us to go do that as a family. It's just like kind of a bonding thing with me and my parents. Like, we all enjoy doing that together, so it's a good time for us. But, you know, I won a little bit of money, not much, but I did come out ahead, so that was nice. But as far as being able to watch all these shows, once again, that's the reason this episode is so late. And I always appreciate y'all for being flexible with me during the football season, especially because normally record these on Sundays, sometimes Mondays, but it's really rare that it's this late on a Tuesday. So I appreciate y'all. And it'll be, you know, more back to normal when the football season's over. We'll be pretty much all on Sundays going forward after NFL is over. But once again, thank you for always being flexible with me. And I hope you all enjoy the show, because we got a lot of good stuff to talk about, a lot of results, and some spoilers. So we're going to go through topics and jump into it. On this episode of The Weekender, we have results for ICW NHB. They had two shows. We had One Night Only and No Holds Barred Volume 56. So all that from ICW NHB on today's show. Also have H2O Uncharted Territory, Glory Pro Ascend Episode 15, DPW Second Anniversary, ETU, Just Getting Warm, MLW Fusion, NXT Level Up, and then spoilers for Ring of Honor. So, a lot of results to get to today, and then I'll give you all a heads up before I read the spoilers at the end of the show. So if you want to remain spoiler-free, you can, but if you want the spoilers for Ring of Honor, hang out until the end, because I will read those out to wrap the show up. So, that all said, let's get into the first set of results. As I mentioned, we have two shows from ICW NHB. The first one was One Night Only, and this took place from Queensboro Elk Lodge in New York City, New York. This was a little bit different of a show because ICW NHB is really well known for like the weapons and the blood, and it's still a very violent show regardless of where it's going to be, but with it being in New York, way less bloody and that kind of stuff. But I thought the show itself was awesome. Like, it's actually almost kind of like a reminder to the deathmatch scene that you really don't need like the gore and the violence and the blood to that degree always to still have an awesome show, because this proved it. You didn't really have any blood in this show, and I thought it was fantastic. But once again, it's to each his own. I understand the deathmatch scene, and we cover a lot of deathmatch wrestling here on The Weekender, so we see it all the time. We'll talk about it actually on the next ICW set of results that we're going to get to, kind of the contrast there. Still pretty much the same level of violence, just certain weapon choices and, of course, the lack of blood on one show versus a lot of blood on the other, but all from the same company. That said, this show took place on Friday night, and then the set of results I'll get to next was on Saturday night. This is all available on independentwrestling.tv, and same with the H2O results and the ETU results. Those will all be from independentwrestling.tv. You can use code FIGHTTALK, that's FIGHTTALK, all is one word, no spaces. If you use that promo code, it basically lets the platform know that I sent you their way. Really appreciate when y'all do that, but once again, that's code FIGHTTALK, and that's going to be for everything that you hear me talking about here on the IWTV platform. Starting off, once again, with ICW One Night Only. Show started off with Homicide over Eric Ryan. Finish of this one was a second rope Koji Cutter by Homicide for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a remarkable tag team title match where Above the Rest, the team of Tristan Tye and Gabriel Sky, defended and retained their title over the Michigan Pillars, the team of Malcolm Monroe III and Tommy Vendetta, along with Darren McCarty. The finish of this one was the Laid to Rest, which is like a double team monkey flip and sick kick combination by Sky and Tristan for the 1-2-3. After that, we had the ETU Key to the East Championship on the line. Marcus Mathers Marcus Mathers defends and retains over Asriel. The finish of this one was Mathers knocking Asriel off the ropes and then following up with a top rope 450 splash for the 3 count to retain his title. After that, we had a hardcore match. Notice how this is more like we're talking hardcore match, not death match, once again, because of the location being in New York. This, by the way, this is a sidebar, but a lot of the criticism that Game Changer Wrestling got when they went to Hammerstein Ballroom a little while back was because they couldn't do all the stuff that they would normally do, and they kind of had to nerf their show, but also reached like a wider audience because of it, but it didn't seem like a true GCW show. That's not to make like a direct comparison, but that's kind of, I'm just trying to like, I guess, really get the point across that certain areas you can do stuff, in certain areas you can't. In New York City, you just can't do a lot of what you can do other places. You know, just the rules are different. So we had a hardcore match that only went 4 minutes long between Cruel and Dr. Redacted. The finish of this one was Scorched Earth by Cruel through a door for the 3 count. After that, we had Danny DeMonto defeating Brian Myers in a no disqualification, false count anywhere match. This was one of my favorite Brian Myers matches ever, honestly, like as far as singles matches for him. And I like Brian Myers a lot. I'm a big fan of himself and Broski. I'm a big fan of like the Major Figure podcast and, you know, buy their merch and, you know, and I'm fans of them as wrestlers, have been for a really long time. And I really respect Myers as a trainer as well for Creative Pro, you know, they've produced stars like, you know, MJF and Max Caster and a whole bunch of people, Chris Statlander. I mean, I could go on and on, but Brian Myers, what he's done, you know, for developing the next generation has been fantastic as well. I got nothing but respect for Myers, and I really like his stuff in Impact Wrestling as well. It just, I think that this match was really damn good, and it was in Myers' hometown. Like, this is, like, he's a New York City, New York guy, you know, like, this is like home base for him. So I really, really enjoyed this match a lot for all those reasons. And I thought DeMonto looked great too. And the finish of this one was, basically, both guys are up on the second rope fighting each other, and Mittens runs into the ring with a popper bat and hits Myers in the back with it. Myers falls backwards off the ropes through a door. DeMonto follows up with a top rope frog splash for the 3 count. Like I said, really good stuff. And also playing within the rules really well. Like, you can't do a death match, but you can do a no DQ, false count anywhere match where you can still do a lot of the similar type of stuff, just not go quite as far with it and without the blood. You know what I mean? After that, we had Brandon Kirk over Jordan Oliver. The finish of this one was awesome. So basically, Jordan goes for his clout cutter, and when he jumps backwards for the cutter, Brandon Kirk catches him in like a psycho driver. I always go back and forth between calling it a psycho driver and a gonzo bomb, just depending on the setup. Like, this is getting really technical here. But to me, the psycho driver is putting someone up in a burning hammer and then turning it into like the gonzo bomb. But the gonzo bomb is like, just to me, it's like just right from the shoulder into the driver. So, or gonzo driver, gonzo bomb, whatever you want to call it. So, for the sake of this match, and I believe Brandon Kirk mainly goes with Psycho Driver anyways, so I'm going to say, anyway, I'm getting way too technical with this. This is taking away from the finish. The finish was awesome. Jordan Oliver goes for a clout cutter. Brandon Kirk catches him midair, hits him with a gonzo bomb, 1-2-3, but it was, I would classify it as Psycho Driver because I believe that's what he would want me to call it. Anyways, moving on. And by the way, I love both those guys. Y'all know how much I love Jordan Oliver, and Brandon Kirk, I'm a very big fan of as well. We just don't talk about him as often, like, because Jordan's on, like, every show, every weekend. But Brandon, if he isn't wrestling, he's also doing commentary and stuff, and he's super talented. We've talked about Brandon Kirk plenty on the show, obviously. Like, we talk about him fairly often, but, you know, there's very few people we talk about as much as Jordan Oliver. And this match was great. So, once again, a great finish there. Brandon Kirk getting the win with a psycho driver, reversing a clout cutter onto Jordan Oliver for the 3 count. And the main event of the show, we had a non-title match, so the Deathmatch Championship not on the line, but we had Hoodfoot defeating Jimmy Lloyd. The finish of this one was the Ghostbuster, which is Hoodfoot's, it's like a pump handle brainbuster for the three count. So, you know, the ICW American Deathmatch World title was not on the line in that match. And I'm, you know, once again, because of location. But then moving on, we had the next set of results for ICW and HB. And this took place from Newark, New Jersey. And this was from the Hart Ballroom. This was on Saturday night, also on IWTV. And there are no real rules for these, right? So you can go full deathmatch. So this was basically a full deathmatch show. Show started off with Reed Bentley over Brandon Kirk. Finish of this one was a Regalplex onto a whole bunch of chairs. And then it was like a whole bunch of open chairs that they were standing on top of. So Regalplex, Kirk kicks out at one, and then Bentley hits him with a J-driller for the three count. After that, we had a tag team death match, Hardcore 69, which is the team of Shadow WX and Madman Pondo. They defeat the team of the Michigan Pillar, the team of Malcolm Monroe and Tommy Vendetta, along with Darren McCarty. The finish of this one was Shadow hitting a lariato, and it's a nice lariat. He had his arm wrapped up with a chain and got the win for his team there. So Hardcore 69 with the W. After that, we had Cruel over Eric Ryan, who had Otis Kogar in his corner. Cruel got the win after hitting Scorched Earth onto a bundle of tubes that did not break for the three count. After the match, Otis gets in the ring and attacks Cruel with a chair. Next, we had Tara Zepp defeating John Wade Murdoch. This was wild because, in a complete surprise, Mick Foley comes out dressed up as Santa Claus. Yes, the Mick Foley, a.k.a. Mankind, a.k.a. Dude Love, a.k.a. Cactus Jack. The legend, the hardcore legend, Mick Foley. He came out dressed as Santa Claus, hit a double-arm DDT onto JWM, and then hit him in the head with Barbie, his barbed wire bat, and that led to Tara hitting a crossbody off the top rope and pinning John Wayne Murdoch for the three count. The place was going nuts for Mick Foley. I was marking out at home. Like, just crazy seeing Mick Foley in this environment in 2023, almost 2024 now. So, great stuff. And then after the match, Mick Foley got on the microphone and kind of puts everyone over, puts over Zepp, you know, just really great moment, and the fans were just going nuts for it. So, and I'll talk more about Mick Foley being at this event on the Spotlight this Thursday with Jeremy over on the main YouTube channel here at Fightful. After that, we had Career versus Commitment Deathmatch, where Danny DeMonto defeated Atticus Kogar. The finish of this one was, I would want to call it a Psycho Driver, but the setup was more of like a Gonzo Bomb from the shoulder. But it was a top rope, or I guess technically second rope, top rope. I'm really splitting hairs here with my technicalities. We're going to say off the ropes, Psycho Driver / Gonzo Bomb through a table covered in glass and light tubes for DeMonto getting the win over Kogar. Big win, or big weekend, big weekend just in general. DeMonto defeating Kogar and Brian Myers back-to-back nights. After that, we had Matt Tremont over Jimmy Lloyd. The finish of this one was a Tongan Death Grip slam by Tremont for the three count. And the main event of the show, we had the ICW American Deathmatch World title on the line. Hoodfoot defends and retains over Dr. Redacted. Finish here was a top rope Ghostbuster through a pane of glass for the 1-2-3 for Hoodfoot to retain his title. Moving on, I got results for H2O on Charted Territory. This show aired on December 18th. And it's available also on independentwrestling.tv. Speaking of Brandon Kirk, he was on commentary for this show along with the Struggles. So a very Brandon Kirk heavy episode of that. I liked that. Right as I was kind of saying, like, man, we may not be showing Brandon Kirk enough love. Like, you know, here he is all over the show today. Show started off with Remington Roar over Jimmy Lyon in a Discovery Gauntlet death match. The finish of this one's kind of hard to explain, but it was pretty sweet. So Remington hits a powerbomb onto Jimmy Lyon, but he hits it, like, he takes a ladder and he put the ladder upside down and, like, stood the legs straight up. So he hit the powerbomb, like, into the middle of the ladder where the thing folds in. So it looked pretty sweet. So Remington got the win with that. After that, we had Hoodfoot over Ryan Redfield. The finish of this one was a Ghostbuster for the 1-2-3. The Ghostbuster, once again, is that pump-handle brainbuster that Hoodfoot does. After that, we had a six-way scramble match where Charlie Tiger defeats Braden Toon, President Hawkins, Rocket, and Adonis Valerio. Charlie Tiger, I think he's won like the last few weeks of scramble matches that he's been a part of. So he's on a roll. Tiger gets the win in this one after he hits a J-Driller. It was kind of not really botched. Not the best J-Driller I've ever seen, but a J-Driller nonetheless. So Charlie Tiger gets the win in the scramble match, keeps that going. After that, we had a non-title match where Austin Luke took on Marcus Mathers. The finish here was a double knockout. Basically, what winds up happening is Austin Luke has a sleeper hold on Mathers, and they're both up on the second rope. But Mathers, it looks like he kind of gets like choked out, so he just falls backwards. And on the fall, both of them hit the mat really hard, and Austin Luke's head, bounces off the mat, and they both get, double knocked out, down for the 10 count. And so, double knockout, and they'll continue this story and feud, rivalry between Mathers and Luke. After that, we had Killdozer, a.k.a. Matt Tremont, over Cody Manhorn, a.k.a. Referee Shiny Shoes. Killdozer, and by the way, your shout out to Cody Manhorn. He's doing great in ring. Like, he's seriously improved over the last couple of years. And, massive shout out to TWE and that whole team there in Chattanooga, Red Bank, Tennessee. But Killdozer gets the win over Cody in this one. The finish here is a Tongan Death Grip slam for the 3 count. And then he hits another one on him after the match and keeps the Death Grip locked in for insult to injury. The fans, a little bit of like a, cheer for Cody afterwards, though, as he, gets up and kind of recovers. After that, we had Jimmy Lloyd and Rocket over the Michigan Pillars, the team of Malcolm Monroe and Tommy Vendetta, along with Darren McCarty, in a tag team match. The finish of this one was the Pillars were going for a double team, like wheelbarrow move, and Jimmy Lloyd came in and super kicked Monroe, and that opened it up so Rocket could reverse Vendetta into a victory roll and get the pin for their team. After that, we had a dog collar match where Declan Grant defeated Dominic De Niro. The finish here was So basically, what winds up happening is Declan takes a chair and he just beats the hell out of De Niro with it until De Niro just is out on the ground in the middle of the ring. And then he puts a trash can over his body and he's hit him with this chair. And then he calls for the crowd to just start throwing their chairs in the ring, a la, old school ECW. And you just see all these chairs flying in. And after, after all the chairs are in the ring, he's just covered in chairs in this trash can, and Declan pins him 1-2-3. So, yeah, pretty cool finish there. Got the fans involved and beat him to death right there. I mean, there's nothing left to do. And the main event of the show, we have the IWTV Independent Wrestling World Championship on the line. Alec Price defends and retains over Matt Mikowski. Love this match. Huge fan of both these guys, as I'm sure everyone who listens to this very well knows. But if you're a new listener, get on board with Alec Price and Matt Mikowski, both of these guys. Huge fans of both of these guys. The finish of this one was Alec Price backflipping out of a German suplex and hitting a surprise kick for the 1-2-3, so he retains the title. After the match, Cruel comes out with his true IWTV, the lineal IWTV championship. That's a whole mess to try to explain that, but I'll do my best. So the short of it is this, for anyone who might be new or trying to follow along, because it's very relevant to what's happening here after this match. So Cruel won the IWTV championship a while back, the true like lineal IWTV championship. The one that, was held by, I don't want to go through the whole list of all the former champions, but the one that was held by guys like, Jonathan Gresham, Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, Orange Cassidy, Chris Statlander, Warhorse, Lee Moriarty, so on and so forth. So, you had him become that champion, and he got injured. When he got injured, they created a new IWTV championship, which was won by Matt Tremont, a.k.a. Killdozer. Eventually, Alec Price defeated Matt Tremont for that championship. So Alec Price is, technically, he's the true IWTV champion because Cruel's title technically became, you know, it's confusing because he never gave up the championship, but he technically vacated the title. But in his own mind, he never gave up the title because he never lost it. So Cruel's been carrying around this IWTV championship for months that technically is not the real title. Alec Price is the real champion. So after this match, Alec Price retains over Matt Mikowski. Cruel comes out with his version of the IWTV championship that he never lost, that is no longer truly the championship. Avery Good, formerly a very good professional wrestler, he is the commissioner. He winds up tasing Cruel, taking that title belt from him and handing it to Alec Price. So now Alec Price is holding both championships, the true championship and the lineal championship. And he's confused because he didn't really ask for this. So he's reluctant to take Cruel's title, and Cruel's like on the ground and getting carried out, and he's screaming for his belt. So very interesting story and continued build there for Alec Price versus Cruel, which will eventually happen here soon. To settle the score for all of this and just to finally once and for all just take away all confusion about who the IWTV champion truly is. Although, once again, technically speaking, it's Alec Price. But Cruel never lost his championship. So he has, he wants a shot at the title, which is understandable. So a lot to digest there, but a lot of good stuff going on. Great matches and great storylines for H2O Uncharted Territory. Uncharted Territory is a bona fide success. Whether it's been Beyond Wrestling or Southeast First or what they're doing now with H2O, it's a great series, and I think that alone is worth the $9.99 a month for IWTV, if I'm being completely honest. Like, just this series alone is worth following along for $10 with. But you get that show that I just covered, both of the ICW and HB shows I just talked about, and then also the ETU show I'm going to cover a little bit later. I mean, I'm just saying, to me, it's a no-brainer, but once again, use code FIGHTTALK, IWTV, and moving on, we got some more results for y'all. This is not on IWTV. This is over on the YouTube channel for Glory Pro Wrestling. We got Glory Pro Ascend Episode 15 with some big results here. This show aired on December 17th. Once again, it's completely free over on the Glory Pro YouTube channel, so go check it out if you want to watch these matches. Started off with Jabari King over Chris Hendricks. The finish of this one was the Silverback Slam, which is, it's like a Blue Thunder style powerbomb, more of like a laid out than a sit out powerbomb. Really good stuff there from Jabari getting the one with the Silverback Slam. He's had great showings throughout the whole Ascend series that went over Hendricks. After that, we had the new guys, the tag team of Jack Bosch and Scott Stanley. They defeat the O'Neill brothers, get the win with a combination Brainbuster and Top Rope Frog Splash for the 3 count. And the main event of the show, this was a long match, this was a great match, and we have a new champion here. We have the Crown of Glory Championship on the line. Camaro Jackson defeats Calvin Tankman to win the title once again. Finish here was a lariat. Basically, like, they were going back and forth, and Camaro was running the ropes, going for a lariat. Calvin ducked it, and then Calvin ran into Camaro's lariat for the 3 count. After the match, so a lot happened after the match. Basically, Camaro's the new champion. He's celebrating. Before he even has a chance to really soak it in and celebrate, Jake Something runs into the ring. He attacks both Camaro Jackson and Calvin Tankman, and Warhorse comes out for the save to fight off Jake Something. Warhorse has the title in his hand and hands it to Camaro, but kind of doesn't want to let it go, and teases that he wants a shot at Camaro's championship soon, which I very much would look forward to seeing. So, really good stuff here. So, once again, to kind of recap from the main event, Camaro Jackson defeats Calvin Tateman to become the new Crown of Glory champion with a lariat. Jake Something attacks after the match, but is fought off by Warhorse. But it looks like once Warhorse and Something settle their score, Warhorse is going to be coming after Camaro Jackson for that championship. So, really good stuff from Glory Pro. Once again, you can check that show out over on their YouTube channel. Just search Glory Pro Wrestling and watch it for free. Moving on, got results for DPW, Deadlock Pro Wrestling. This is second anniversary, and this is available over on the DPW On Demand website. So dpwondemand.com, that's where you can watch Deadlock Pro Wrestling, DPW second anniversary. These are the results. Got Violence is Forever, the team of Dominic Greene and Kevin Koo, along with LeBron Cazzoni. They defeat Team Filthy, the team of Darrell Nelson, Royce Isaacs, and Filthy Tom Lawler. After that, we had Nicole Matthews over You, Jake Something and Speedball Mike Bailey over Brian Keith and Titus Alexander, and Andrew Everett over BK Westbrook. The DPW World Tag Team title on the line. Oh, by the way, some big title changes coming up for the back end of the show. So we had the Motor City Machine Guns, the team of Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. They defeat the Rourke Horsemen, the team of Anthony Henry and JD Drake, to become the new champions. So once again, Motor City Machine Guns over the Rourke Horsemen. And the tag team division in DPW is insane. I mean, you got Motor City as the tag champs, former champs Rourke Horsemen, and you know, before that, we had Violence is Forever. Let me just see the whole lineage of the tag team titles real quick here, because I think that may be it. So we have the world tag team titles, Motor City Machine Guns. Sorry, let's pull this up here on cagematch.com. Oh, that's right. You had the Reality before VIF. But since then, yeah, VIF, Rourke Horsemen, and Motor City as the last three sets of champions. That's insane. The list, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll go through the rest of these matches. We had the DPW World's title on the line. This was vacant championship to crown a new champion. We had Calvin Tankman defeat Colby Carino to become the new champion. In the main event of the show, we had DPW Women's World Championship on the line. Miyuki Takasi defeats Emi Sakura to become the new champion. So, Deadlock Pro with three title changes. We had Motor City become the new tag team champions. We had Calvin Tankman win the vacant world title. And we had Takasi becoming the new world women's champion. So some big changes going on in Deadlock Pro, but great promotion. I mean, they run these shows out of North Carolina, and we're getting a lot of buzz lately. And you know, when we interviewed Dominic Green, we've actually had Green and Q on a few times for the spotlight, I should say. But well, depending, we've had them on separately three times, so I guess that'd be a few. But they're very heavily involved in Deadlock, and they talk glowingly of the promotion. So I'm definitely pulling for them, and it's somewhat of like a home-based promotion for Jeremy. I know he's really pulling for them as well. So, yeah, I mean, I wish Deadlock was more available as far as like live shows, because mainly, from what I understand, mainly they tape everything and then they put it on DPW On Demand. So I'm just able to watch the shows after they air. But like this show, I believe the show was taped on the 10th, but it didn't actually air until just a few days ago, because I just caught up on it. But but it actually aired over the weekend, right? Yeah, it aired on Saturday. So, you know, hopefully they can start running live more often. But outside of that, I got no gripes. Outside of, I guess, you know, I'm a little biased here. I'd prefer if they ran their events off of IWTV or Fight, because I'm already, you know, those are already subscription-based platforms that have most of the stuff that we cover here. But, you know, shout out to DPW. They're doing it their way. They're doing it off their website. More power to them. Got nothing against it. I'm just saying, I think they'd reach an even bigger audience, and a lot more people would be really checking out their product and be way more into it a lot quicker if they were on Fight Plus or IWTV. But they're doing their thing. They seem to be doing really well. So, and their production, everything is great. And a lot of people, including the talent themselves, a lot of them compare DPW to like early Ring of Honor and stuff in a lot of ways, which is a huge compliment. So pulling for DPW here on the Weekender, and we'll keep covering them more often as they continue to run more shows. Moving on, we have results for ETU. This is Expect the Unexpected. This is Just Getting Warm. This is the two-year celebration for Expect the Unexpected Wrestling. And the commentary team for this show is Jack Solomon, who did commentary for a couple of the shows we've talked about today, and Righteous Jesse, who did ring announcing for ICW and also commentary here. For those of you who don't know, I've known Jesse for, man, it's been, I probably met him in like 2017 or 2018, something like that. I lived in Nashville for like a decade or so before the pandemic and before I moved back to Atlanta. And Jesse was somebody who was really influential in a lot of ways for me. I'll pull back the curtain a little bit here. So like, and I never really talk about Jesse much because he's so in and out of kind of the indies and the stuff that he does. Shout out Danger Zone Video. I'll give them a free plug. He runs a VHS store in the Nashville area currently, like full time. You know, he does the commentary and the ring announcing and stuff, but that keeps him like in and out of wrestling. Way less consistently than he used to be. He also used to wrestle, by the way. One of my favorite matches in the history of Southern Underground Pro is Righteous Jesse versus Brett Eisen. The two of them have history since they were kids. But the reason I'm talking, you know, the reason I'm going to highlight Jesse here a little bit is because he's someone, and as I mentioned, once again, he runs a VHS store, which is, that's how badass is that in 2023, almost 2024. This dude has I have no idea what level of success they have. No clue how their business looks like on the back end. No idea. But from what I do know is he's always posting about it on social media. It looks like they're having a great time with it. It must be somewhat successful because they've been open for a little while now. And he's dedicating even more time to it this year from the posts that I'm seeing. So I'm really pulling for him and that company and just everything he's involved with because I know the dude works his ass off. Now, that all said, once again, to pull the curtain back, I'll just talk a little bit about this is the holiday season, and this is a good time for kind of some story time with Steven Jensen, baby. So when I first got into podcasting, I'll pull it back even farther. When I started broadcasting at all was back in 2010, probably something like that. Actually a little bit earlier, probably like 2008 or 2009. I was in college. I worked for my school's radio station. Shout out to Georgia Southern University, Georgia Southern Eagles, GATA, Hail Southern, Georgia Southern down there in Statesboro, Georgia. Probably best known for like Luke Bryan was from my school. He used to play shows when he was like real small, like popularity wise. Cole Swindell used to like, we went to college at the same time. He may be a little younger than I am. But he used to play shows there too. Yes, he used to, for people who know country music, Cole Swindell used to be the merch guy, like selling t-shirts and stuff for Luke Bryan when Luke Bryan started blowing up. And now Cole Swindell has become huge in country as well. But probably best known for those two guys. And also, football-wise, Jerick McKinnon was my quarterback in college. And he's been really successful in the NFL, currently plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. So we've had a couple, the kicker for the Atlanta Hawks. He's from Georgia Southern as well. Rob Baronis, kicker, longtime kicker for the Tennessee Titans, was from my college. So there's been like a handful of, and not that they were from my college, but like the rap group Migos was like really big from that area before they blew up. We used to like see them around and stuff like before they became huge. So like there's been a lot of, kind of a lot that's gone on, like, oh, actually, you know what? I think maybe, like, Drewski or one of those guys. One of these guys who, like, I've seen become really huge on, like, TikTok and stuff. I'm pretty sure he went to Georgia Southern also, like, in, like, recent years. Anyways, I'm getting way off topic, but when I was in college, I worked for my school's newspaper and my school's radio station. And, like, the first show that I ever did was an MMA radio show for my college. And the idea of that basically gave me the confidence or whatever, like years later, to try podcasting when that became a thing that became, you know, available and for other people were able to do really easily and more accessibly. I started off the Fight Talk podcast in like 2017. So like years had passed and I had dabbled with other stuff but nothing had really caught on. I didn't really know what to do, but I started just like interviewing people through Fight Talk, and it mainly started as an MMA show. And I really early on, I got Mickey Gall before he fought CM Punk, which is huge for me. I got Bass Rutten really early on, one of the best MMA fighters of all time, in my opinion. I got Scotty Riggs on really early. He was, I think, the first pro wrestler I ever interviewed. So, you know, I owe a lot to these kind of guys. And really early on, when I was trying to figure things out, I eventually started kind of dabbling in, you know, independent wrestling interviews. because it was way easier to get independent wrestlers than it was to get, you know, UFC fighters. And then, of course, like, you know, I'd interviewed some random wrestlers. Like, I interviewed Swerve, like, really early on when he was Killshot and stuff like that. But, like, there, you know, for the most part, I was just trying to, like, figure out who I could interview and, like, the best way of kind of doing a podcast that people want to listen to. And during that process, Righteous Jesse was doing, in my opinion, the best independent wrestling podcast of all time. I'll put it over to that degree. It's called Kick Out at 2. It was himself and the Wilt Man, Chris Wilkins, the Wilk Man. And they interviewed independent wrestlers. And because they were doing that, I started kind of being able to interview some of the people they were interviewing, and we kind of were in the same realm. And Righteous Jesse wound up starting. He was one of the founders of Southern Underground Pro, which was, that was perfect. That had just started up, and so I can go to shows now and meet wrestlers and all this stuff. And so Jesse was super influential in my podcasting, in my accessibility, in like my love for indie wrestling. Because without SUP, without Southern Underground Pro, I don't know where I'd be right now as far as like a wrestler, you know, as a wrestling fan or covering wrestling or anything. So I just wanted to put over Jesse today because people don't know how much he's helped other people over the years. Even I remember back in like, this was probably back in like 2000 and probably 18 or 19 maybe. I remember like Marco Stunt had just started getting like some popularity on the indies, and they had Marco like traveling with Jesse as like, I remember Marco was calling Jesse like his dad, like he was like his dad on the road. Like, so like Jesse was responsible for Marco basically, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. So like, you know, so I could go really deep and go more and more about Jesse, and eventually I should probably get him. The only reason I haven't invited him on the spotlight, the only reason, full transparency, is because he's so in and out of wrestling, and I don't know how much he even really wants to talk about it. Like when he's not either, when he's not either doing commentary or ring announcing, he's doing his thing at Danger Zone Video, and it's so often that he's just like, all right, I'm out of wrestling completely, and you won't see or hear from him at all for a while, and then he's right back in it, you know. So it's one of those things where at the end of the day, I really just don't want to bother him, I guess. But you know, if he hears this, or any of his buddies or any of the wrestlers that are tight with Jesse, just know that like, he, whether he knows it or not, he greatly helped me early on. Even back when I was trying to find sponsors and stuff for my podcast, I was looking at their show, I was asking him, and he was real with me a few times of being like, hey, I can talk about this, I can't talk about this, I don't know, I do know, blah, blah, blah. He gave me good advice and stuff. So it was like one of the things that whenever I see Righteous Jesse's name on the marquee, I've always got a little bit of a soft spot because, once again, whether he knows it or not, he helped me a lot early on. And I do not know where I'd be without Sup Graps and without him and Kick Out at 2 all kind of being a thing all at the right time for me. Now, that all said, these are the results for ETU Just Getting Warm. You can watch it on independentwrestling.tv. We had a four-corner survival match where Braden Toon defeats Steve Pena, Yo-Yo, and Adonis Stone. Toon gets to win in this one after hitting a powerbomb, and then he did this thing where he did this powerbomb into a Death Valley driver, but he grasped the wrists to do it. Super impressive looking move. And Braden Toon, just in general, super impressive. He's a guy to keep on your radar, and a guy that has been on my radar for a while that hopefully y'all will hear from soon at Fightful, because he's super impressive. He's got a ton of power, and he's also doing like running, standing, shooting stars and stuff. Like, he's a future big time star, I think. Especially he's gonna really blow up soon on the indie scene, and then it's gonna be just kind of a matter of time where he fits in elsewhere, I think. After that, we had Janai Kai over Christina Marie. Kai gets the win after hitting she misses her, I always call it the trouble in paradise, like the 360 front kick. But technically 360 roundhouse, I guess. But she misses it a couple times and then hits it after ducking a couple for the 1-2-3. So Kai gets the win there over Marie. After that, we have the Killionaires Club, the team of Jay Bougie and PB Smooth. They defeat the Shook Crew of Bobby Orlando and Bryce Donovan. Killionaires get the win after PB Smooth hits a really nice, like a release Blue Thunder Bomb onto Orlando, and then Bougie covers Orlando for the three count. After that, we had Jimmy Lloyd over BK Westbrook. The finish of this one was a Gonzo driver. And I'm going to call it a Gonzo driver here because there was not the setup like the Psycho driver with the... I'm getting so technical on that today for whatever reason. I'm calling it a Gonzo driver. I'm going to call it a Gonzo bomb. Gonzo driver by Jimmy Lloyd to BK Westbrook for the three count. After that, we had the IWTV Independent Wrestling Tag Team Championship on the line. Miracle Generation, the team of Kylan King and Dustin Waller. They defeat the team of High Flying Star Machines, the team of BoJack and Diego Hill. The finish here was... So basically what winds up happening is Kylan King does like an Asai moonsault to the outside to Diego to take him out, and then Waller does the alley-oop off the top onto BoJack for the three count to retain their titles. I forgot to mention before this match, Mike Santana came out and made a surprise appearance, and he called out Homicide, so that's going to be badass. We're looking forward to that. After that, we had the ETU Key to the East number one contendership match, where Ricky Shane Page defeated John Wayne Murdoch. The finish here was RSP. He basically did like, it's hard to explain, but he did like a roll through into like a stack pin where he like laid across the legs of JWM to get the win there. So RSP is the number one contender to the ETU Key to the East title, who will, you know, the winner of the main event that I'll get to here in a second. After that, we had Kushida over Brandon Kirk. There you go. More Brandon Kirk today. Kushida gets the win with his Back to the Future, which I always want to call God's Last Gift. For those of you who remember when Tyler Black, aka Seth Rollins, that was his finisher in like Ring of Honor. When he wasn't using it, he would use both. He would do that or the Phoenix Splash, but Kushida's version of the God's Last Gift, of course, the Back to the Future, gets the three count victory for himself over Brandon Kirk. Once again, big day for Brandon Kirk here on the Weekender. And the main event of the show, we had the ETU Key to the East Championship on the line in a death match. Marcus Mathers defends and retains over Ken Broadway. The finish of this one was Mathers hitting a powerbomb through a glass pane in the corner, and then following it up with a Gotch-style pile driver onto a couple chairs for the three count to retain his title. After the match, the Killianaires show respect to Mathers. Broadway, you know, hugs Mathers, and they give him the title. And they're setting up, you know, big title fight coming up soon between new number contender Ricky Shane Page and still ETU Key to the East champion Marcus Mathers. Moving on, I got results for MLW Fusion. The show is available over on YouTube. Just go to the Major League Wrestling YouTube channel. You can watch it for free. This show aired on the 14th, December 14th. And these are the results. Started off with a Battle Royal, where Joshua Bishop defeats Brett Ryan Goslin, Griffin McCoy, Ichiban, Kevin Blackwood, Love Doug, Matthew Justice, Mr. Thomas, Nolo Catano, O'Shea Edwards, the Masked Brothers number 3, a.k.a. Mance Warner, TJ Crawford, Tom Lawler, Yosefer L, and Tony Deppen. The finish of this one absolutely ruled. By the way, this stuff was taped a while back. This was taped all the way back in the middle of November. So we've already talked about this stuff, but now that it's actually aired, it's relevant again. Josh Bishop gets the win here after hitting a Bishop bomb from the ring over the top rope through a table onto Matthew Justice. So that's setting up more between the two, which I can't wait to talk about once it all airs. But after the match, Josh Bishop wound up like beating up like some paramedics and like kept the attack on Matthew Justice when they were trying to cart him out. So huge win here for Joshua Bishop. And if you want to know more about Josh, he was recently on the spotlight with myself and Jeremy. You can check out the interview as a part of the main show on the main channel for Fightful or over on Fightful Overbooked if you want to just watch the interview. So once again, huge shout out to Josh Bishop there for winning the Battle Royal. After that, we had Jannai Kai over Delmi Exo and Tiara James in a three-way match to retain the MLW World Women's Featherweight Championship. Kai gets the win after Selena sprays Delmi in the face with a spray can. And Kai follows up with a Trouble in Paradise for the three count to retain. After that, we had Tony Deppen along with TJ Crawford and Griffin McCoy on the outside over Nolo Catano. The finish here was Deppen was on his back, kind of pulling guard almost from his back as Catano was standing up. And Deppen kicks Catano in the nuts and then follows up with, I just wrote down the boom, but Adam Cole, the boom. He called it the last shot in NXT. Basically, the running Shining Wizard in the back of the head for Deppen for the 1-2-3 over Nolo Catano. After that, we had Kevin Blackwood over TJ Crawford, who had Griffin McCoy in his corner. Blackwood gets the win after Griffin gets ejected from ringside. This kind of distracts Crawford, which allows Blackwood to hit back-to-back Haluva kicks in the corner, then follows up by hitting a top rope double stomp to Crawford. Crawford was standing, so he goes, kind of threw him into the mat for the three count there. Kevin Blackwood gets the win. And the main event of the show, we had the MLW National Open Weight Championship on the line. Ricky Shane Page defends and retains over Akira. The finish is a quick match, unfortunately. This was setting up more. This was really just more to set up the next match between the two. RSP reverses a death penalty and hits him with a Raven Effect DDT for the three count. After the match, members of the Calling come out and they get Akira kind of tied up in the ropes, and this allows RSP to shave the mohawk off of Akira to end the show. So obviously Akira at this point, full on babyface, broken from the Calling, super over as a good guy, even more sympathy as a babyface now getting his mohawk shaved. And it is not over between himself and RSP and the rest of the Calling, but I'm very much looking forward to the future matches. And eventually I'd imagine Akira is going to beat RSP for this title to kind of blow this feud off. But I'm really looking forward to kind of more of this. I really like this so far, and I'm a very big fan of both of these guys and the whole story. So good stuff. Really great episode of MLW as far as great matches, the people winning. This is great stuff. Bishop winning the Royal Rumble would be sweet. I know he'd love to be a part of WWE. Bishop wins the Battle Royal. Kai retains the featherweight belt. Deppen gets a big win. Blackwood gets a big win. RSP retains the title, but more importantly, RSP and Akira continue their feud going forward after Akira gets his mohawk shaved. Moving on, got results for NXT Level Up. This show I always watch on Hulu, so you can check it out there. And it aired on December 15th. These are the results. Show started off with Scripps over Javier Bernal. Scripps gets the win. Basically, I'll try to explain. So, Out of the Mud, his group, along with Bronco Nima and Lucian Price, they're on the outside. Bernal tries to get his feet on the... He puts his feet on the ropes and tries to get the dirty pin over Scripps, but Price and Nima, push his feet off so he doesn't get the pin, he doesn't cheat. While this is happening, Bernal is, reacting to it and looks on the outside. He gets distracted by Price and Nima out there who have just helped, prevented him from cheating, rather. And while this is happening from the distraction, Scripps does a back handspring cutter onto Bernal and pins him for the three count. So Out of the Mud, Price, Nima, and Scripps. Good little group there for NXT/NXT Level Up. After that, we had a quick interview segment where Amari Miller, who is back, this is her first match since January. She tore her ACL at the beginning of the year. She basically talks about how she's nervous, but she's excited about being back. She's going to be wrestling Valentina Feroz in the next match. But Amari basically says that she sees things clearer now, and she has more, her mind and her body and everything is just healed now that she's back. The match itself, unfortunately, she loses her return match, but the finish here, we had Valentina Feroz over Amari Miller. The finish was... Feroz pulling the knee brace of Miller. So she, dirty tactic there, of course, but she pulls her knee brace and then hits a second rope Meteora. And by the way, this was one of the best Meteoras I've ever seen. I'm very critical of the Meteora because I think in most cases, the wrestler doing the move looks like he's taking almost no damage. Usually it's like, then it really just looks like you're just hurting your own knees and face planting most of the time. Usually it just doesn't look good, doesn't look like it would hurt. It's just, I'm not, it's one of my least favorite moves in wrestling. The way that Royce hit it, though, she did it like a code breaker version, where she, like, came down, but like, grabbed the back of the neck, got her knees up on, like, the chest, and, like, drove down into the mat with it. That was good stuff. Like, that was honestly one of the best Meteoras, maybe the best I've ever seen. And it happened on NXT Level Up, which, that's crazy, right? Because, like, most people would be like, Meteora, I'm thinking Shima, I'm thinking, you know, Trey Miguel. I'm telling y'all, Valentina Feroz hit the most believable Meteora I've ever seen on NXT Level Up this week. So if you want to watch it, go check it out on Hulu. You might think I'm crazy or that I'm just keeping it real. And this is another reason why you should check these shows out. Like, I go into these shows with I shouldn't even say low expectations. I go in with realistic expectations because I watch the show every week. And I know what this is meant for, and it's meant to get reps. Like I always say, it's, you know, getting out there in front of a live audience and, like, figuring yourself out and figuring out your moveset and your character and, you know, all this stuff. And this is a great example of, like, this episode was that. I haven't even talked about the main event yet. This episode was that, but on top of that, I literally saw someone hit a move I don't even like better than I've ever seen anyone hit it, and it was on this show. So shout out to Valentina Feroz and Amore Miller. Main event of the show, we had Tony D'Angelo and Channing Stax Lorenzo. I almost combined their names there. I almost said Tony DeLorenzo. We had Tony D'Angelo and Channing Stax Lorenzo. They defeat Drew Gulak and Charlie Dempsey. I almost did it there, too. I almost said Drew Dempsey. What's wrong with me? Level up. All right, this is the main event. Tony D'Angelo and Channing Stax Lorenzo over Drew Gulak and Charlie Dempsey. This was a non-title match, so the NXT Tag Team Championship's not on the line by Lorenzo and D'Angelo. Nonetheless, the champions do still get the win in this one. They hit the bada bing, bada boom, their kind of like double electric chair drop, for the three count. They hit that on Gulak and get the win and the pin there. So, hey, I just put it over as much as you can possibly hear someone put over NXT Level Up. That was a great episode, and if you're not watching that show, I understand, but I think a lot of people are missing out. If, you know, because there is good stuff to be seen on that show. That is the future of the WWE. A lot of the future stars are right there. And even, like, the, you know, the current NXT Tag Team Champions. Someone like me who doesn't watch every Tuesday, I don't see those guys that much, you know, since they haven't been on Level Up much lately. But when they pop back on there, I get to see them again, see their progression. I like it. So good stuff there for NXT Level Up this week. All right, moving on, we have spoilers. So let's wrap the show up today with spoilers. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Got spoilers for Ring of Honor. We're going to say 53 minutes until the end of the show. So if you do not want spoilers for Ring of Honor, you can go ahead and cut the show off now. I appreciate y'all. As always, please everyone hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. If you enjoy the show, hit the like button. I appreciate that. And I'll see y'all next week if you're going to be tuning out now if you don't want Ring of Honor spoilers. But if you do want ROH spoilers, they're going to be coming to you here in just a second. So there you go. Give everyone a little second here to get out. Ring of Honor TV taping spoilers in 3, 2, 1. And also, quick programming reminder, no NWA results this week. Normally, I cover the National Wrestling Alliance. We'll get back on NWA results probably next week. These are the Ring of Honor spoilers. These took place on the 16th, so on Saturday after AEW Collision. And here they are. These are courtesy of cagematch.com. We got the Von Erichs, the team of Marshall Von Erich and Ross Von Erich, who, you know, we're going to see everywhere for a while with this Iron Claw movie coming out, which, by the way, I'm very much looking forward to seeing. I'm planning on seeing it on Friday with one of my buddies. So I'm going to go on an action figure hunt on Friday morning and then see this movie on Friday afternoon. I've got a little bit of a break from work right now, which, you know, happy holidays, everyone. Von Erichs get the win over the Work Horsemen, the team of Anthony Henry and J.D. Drake. We had the Kevin Von Erich was with the Von Erichs. We had the ROH World Women's Title Proving Ground match where Athena defeats Maya World. By the way, shout out to Billy Starks and Athena. I really thought it should have been Billy getting that W at a final battle, but I love the match. I thought it was a fantastic match between the two, and I'm such a Billy fan. I really wanted her to win, but Athena rules too. That was great stuff. I just want to give it a shout out there for that pay-per-view. That was great. We had Dante Martin over Lee Johnson. Gates of Agony, a team of Bishop Khan and Toliona over Blake Christian and Willie Mack in a tag team match. We had The Righteous, a team of Dutch and Vincent, along with Lance Archer, over the Iron Savages, the team of Boulder and Bronson, along with Jack Jameson. Shout out, Jack Jameson. We got Taya Valkyrie, along with Johnny TV, over Vert Vixen. Rachel Elring, along with Layla Hirsch and Maria, over Charlotte Renegade, along with Robin Renegade. We had the action. We had a three-way tag team match where Action, Andretti, and Darius Martin defeated the Infantry. I keep combining stuff today. I was going to combine the Infantry, the Outrunners, and the Action Andretti for some reason. So we have Action Andretti and Darius Martin over the Infantry, the team of Carly Bravo and Sean Dean, and the Outrunners, the team of Truth Magnum and Turbo Floyd. An eight-man tag team match where Dalton Castle, Gravity, and the Boys defeat the Spanish Announce Project, the team of Angelico and Serpentico, and Cole Carter and Griff Garrison, who had Maria in their corner. And the... Looks like the main event. We had a tag team match. El Hijo del Vikingo and Commander over Gringo Loco and Jack Cartwheel, which I'd imagine was an absolutely insane tag team match. So look forward to seeing all those matches on future episodes of Ring of Honor Television on Honor Club. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Once again, please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please follow me on X at FightTalk_, FightTalk _. Use code FIGHTTALK and independentwrestling.tv. Watch The Spotlight every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, youtube.com/Fightful. Me and Jeremy talk the world of pro wrestling. We talk more indies. We talk WWE. We talk AEW. We talk other stuff. We interview wrestlers, promoters, you know, a whole bunch of people. Actually, more recently, most recent episode, we had Joel Pearl on from right here at Fightful. If you want to know more about Joel, where he came from, what his background is, and kind of how he fits in and what he does at Fightful, within the weeds and his reviews and impact reviews and everything that Joel's got going on. Check that out as well. That's over on youtube.com/Fightful. You can watch the most recent episode of The Spotlight, check out that interview with Joel and hear everything we had to say. Talk to CM Punk. Everyone loves to hear me talk about, you know, Pepsi Phil over there. So check that out every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. And yeah, that's going to be it. You know, I appreciate y'all. Happy holidays. Hanukkah just ended. So happy Hanukkah to all my Jewish friends out there, and Merry Christmas to all my Christian friends out there. That's about to be coming up. Happy Kwanzaa. You know, happy everything to everybody out there. Happy holidays. I just hope whether you're religious or you're not, or you have a bunch of friends and family around or you don't, whatever it is, just I hope you get some good time. You know, you have some time to yourself or you have some time with family, whatever you get to do. I just hope that you have an enjoyable rest of this year. I'll be back again, you know, with another episode of the weekend or before the end of the year. But for the holiday season here, you know, with Christmas right around the corner, just wanted to let y'all know I appreciate every one of y'all who listens to this show and supports this. I've been doing this show for over 5 years now here at FightfulSelect.com, and I'm very, very fortunate, and I very much appreciate being able to do this and be able to highlight and cover professional wrestling, especially independent professional wrestling, and the talents and everybody involved in that world. So really, really appreciate y'all. And yeah, once again, I just hope, regardless of what you're celebrating, if you're not celebrating anything at all, I just hope you have a good, you know, good week here. And if you're working, if you work customer service or you work retail or whatever it is, I feel for you. I'm one of you. And just know that you're appreciated. And if you're out there and you're one of these people out there that's, you know, just be nice to retail workers, be nice to customer service people, be nice to the people who have to work over these holiday seasons, you know what I mean? So keep everyone in mind, be kind to everyone. That's really the best message I could give anybody this holiday season, is just be nice to other people. And until next time, enjoy some professional wrestling. Happy holidays, and Skull Vikings.